Today, we're going to be reading out of Lamentations. If you would turn there with me. Lamentations chapter 3. It's right after the book of Jeremiah. This is a very sad book. It's a sad book. Often we don't read it, other than probably a few verses here and there that might pertain to a topic that we are discussing or that we are learning from. The author of this book is believed to be Jeremiah. Jeremiah's nickname was the weeping prophet, for good reason. If you would you close your eyes? I want you to just focus on a few things right here. I want you to imagine that you are living in a land that was given to you. In this land, you are enjoying the prosperity of God. The land is producing crops, and you and your neighbors are flourishing. Everyone is doing well. There is a feeling of gratitude and joy. The trees are tall, and the leaves, can you hear them rustling in the breeze? The sun is shining. The fields are laden with the fruit of the harvest. And there is an anticipation of the harvest that you will bring in this year and what that will do for you and your family. And as you look out over the fields, you are filled with joy because of the work of your hands and God's blessing that you are enjoying the life that you live. Your children are running and playing together, and you can hear their squeals. And your grandbabies play in the yard, and the dog chases them around. And they're having fun and laughing and enjoying the day. There is peace in the land in which you live. You are at peace. And at the end of the day, you're resting quietly in bed, thinking over all of the things that you enjoyed that day. And your family is close by you. But you are awakened in the middle of the night by screams of horror, loud sounds of swords and metal clanking together. There is a war cry, and you begin to tear out of your bed, and you are making sure that your family is protected in your home, and you take up arms if you have any, and you begin to try to figure out what is happening, what is going on. And so the joy and the restfulness of your peace is gone in an instant. Pretty soon, there are people breaking into your house. They knock you down to the ground. And that of your family as well. And your children are lying face down on the ground. You are commanded, tied up, and you are taken away from your home. And as you're walking the streets with just yesterday your children were playing in, you see bodies here and there laying in a pool of blood. And you are thinking to yourself, what has happened? What has happened to my home? Where are they taking me? Who are these people? You're taken away from your home. You're taken away from your crops, your harvest that was supposed to be so good and do so much for your family. The peace that you once enjoyed is completely gone. And you walk and you walk and you walk. Maybe 2 days, maybe more, to a new location that you've never been. And now, you can't go back home. You now have to live and learn how to live your life away from your homeland in somebody else's backyard, and they're the boss. You can't go to church like you used to. You can't worship like you used to anymore. They dictate from morning till evening what you're doing. Your stomach is sick from fear. You have fear for your children. You have fear that God has abandoned you. Does he not hear our cries? Where is he? The life of blessing that you once lived is gone. You may open your eyes. I wonder if that were to happen, what our response would be. I wonder how we would react. Well, that's exactly what happened to the people of Israel. They were overtaken by King Nebuchadnezzar. You may remember that guy. Remember that guy? He was a bugger. Okay? And he came and he conquered that little upstart of a nation, of a kingdom called Judah, of which Jerusalem was the main city. He conquered it, and he tore down the temple, and everything was lying in ruins. Everything was destroyed. Every part of life that you knew is gone. You can't even stay in the land that God gave you. You have been living in the land that God promised your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You have been living in the blessing of this land, and now it's gone. And you are separated from it and the blessing. Jeremiah, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, these were all peers, people that were taken to Babylon from their homeland, the holy city. Can you imagine the outcry of the people? Can you imagine the moans as they exited the city in chains? As they exited the city, seeing the bodies of their neighbors laying in the streets? Can you imagine as you walked by the temple, seeing it crumbled before your very eyes? Desolate. Smoke is rising. Everyone is sick. Everyone is scared, literally, to death. You would lament. You would cry. You would groan with pain for that of your children, for yourself, for the life you once knew, for your land, for your property, for the crops that you planted by your own hands. This is what Jeremiah saw with his own eyes. He was an eyewitness to these things. And he lamented, he cried. That very word, lament, means to mourn, to express deep sorrow, grief, horror, or contrition. These words convey visual impressions, if you will, of beating one's breast. You're just heartbroken. Just heartbroken. No more joy. No more freedom. You are owned by somebody. Somebody has conquered you, your family, and your land. They literally own you. It breeds impressions of sitting in the dirt, wearing unwashed clothes, sometimes sackcloth and ashes, shaving their heads, covering their heads with cloth, and swaying back and forth, just mourning and grieving, as you would grieve for a loved one. The Hebrew word for lament literally means to howl or to wail. Think about that. Oh, my home is gone. My children will grow up in a foreign land. Can you imagine just what one household would sound like on that day? But let alone hundreds of thousands of people. Can you imagine what that sounded like? In Amos chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, it talks about that very thing, that howling and wailing. And it talks about specifically that wailing in the streets, uncomforted. There's nothing that can make you feel better. Nothing. God, where are you in the midst of all of this turmoil that is in my life? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that way? Lamenting is caused by and used for various occasions and occurrences such as death, calamity, war, plague, conviction of sin. And so, this book of Lamentations, written in 586 BC by Jeremiah the prophet. The word Lamentations really literally means funeral songs. Think about it. Funeral songs. Pastor, I've about had enough of talking about sin. I've had enough of talking about all this sad stuff. I want to talk about some joyful stuff. Let's talk about some happy things. Come on. That's what I want to talk about. I've had enough of this sadness. But that's what that means. Funeral songs is the name of this book in the Bible. Well, don't that sound like a great place to go to? Let's read the Bible. We're going to have ourselves a Bible study today. Guess what we're going to be reading? We're going to be reading funeral songs.
That's God's word.
Funeral songs. Enjoy. This is really a form of poetry, all right? And there even became a style of music, funeral music that would go with these writings, these poems, these songs. And it became like a dirge, and even the word dirge just sounds dark and gloomy. But there was an actual name for it. It's called kina. Kina. It's a rhythm for a funeral song. Kina. Maybe we should learn that the next time we're going through some difficult times in our life. We can play some kina music. It's important for us to know and to understand the background and the context of the scripture passages that we are reading. If you don't understand the context, if we didn't understand what Jeremiah was looking at, what he was going through when we read these words, we're like, man, this dude is depressed. All right? This man needs some anti-anxiety medication. He needs some help. But considering what he has gone through, now we understand why he's writing the things that he's writing You understand? The book is written from an eyewitness perspective. On 9/11, there were eyewitnesses that saw those planes fly into the buildings. I saw it with my own eyes. When we see video snippets of these things or pictures, we can understand a little bit of what that was like. But I was there. I heard the sound of the screaming of those engines. I saw that plane tip just like so before it hit the building, and then it just disappeared in a pile of fire and smoke. I was there. I saw it. I saw people jumping from those buildings. I saw it with my own eyes. That's what Jeremiah is talking about. I saw these things with my own eyes. I was led in chains away from my home. And now, myself and my nation are cut off from the blessing that God had given us. And he laments over these things. He cries over it. He groans. And in the Septuagint, I want to explain, there's going to be a few phrases here, a few words that you might not be familiar with, but we can expand our knowledge of the Bible and the writings therein, and the writings that are outside of the canonized Bible that are writing in the time of the Bible. We can still learn stuff, okay? One thing that is called the Septuagint, which means sept, it's taken from the seven, all right? In this case, 70, also nicknamed LXX in the Roman numerals. The Jewish elders translated scripture of the Old Testament into Greek, okay? And now that they are separated from Israel, they're living in a foreign land, all right? As they're there for a while, and their children don't learn their native Hebrew language, okay? They don't learn the native Hebrew language. They learn, and it may have been forced this way, that they had to learn a different language, okay? But either way, the elders of the synagogues translated, 70 of these elders, translated the Old Testament scripture into the Greek, their new language, all right, of the diaspora, the Jews that have been cast out of Israel. Okay? So there's a couple words for you. Septuagint and diaspora. Diaspora meaning the Jews that are away from their homeland. Septuagint, the 70 elders, that is the scriptures translated by the 70 elders into Greek. Yes, dispersed, yes. So in Lamentations, let's turn there, chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. Let's read that together. Lamentations 3. Now, keep in mind the context, the background of which Jeremiah is writing. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Does this sound like somebody that has just been torn from their home and their land? Yeah. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. This kind of sounds like a funeral song, doesn't it? It's pretty nasty stuff, pretty dark and gloomy, isn't it? He has walled me up in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Wow. Does this now sound like somebody that has been conquered? Even when I call or cry out for help, he shuts out my prayer. Have you ever felt like that in your own life? That God has shut out my prayers? I have. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked like a bear lying in wait. Like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. Wow, this really paints a pretty vivid picture of things, doesn't it? He drew his bow and he made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mocked me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. Now listen. Listen very closely. I remember my affliction and my wandering. The reason for my affliction. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. Now gall is a bitter, if not even poisonous, extract from a plant that was native to that area, or even bile from the liver of an animal, which has an extremely bitter taste, okay? And sometimes this was used in the case of Jesus on the cross. He was given gall to drink from a sponge up on a stick, a pole. So he was given wine mixed with gall while he was on the cross. And it was intended to deaden pain while he was suffering on the cross. But you remember, he wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take it. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast. My soul is sad. Yet, this I call to mind. And therefore, I have hope. Notice, it changes right here. With all of these things that he just listed, yet, this I call to mind, this I remember, this I intentionally bring back to my mind, and therefore I have hope because of this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I said to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait on him. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him. Friends, as we study Lamentations, funeral songs of a man that is crying and grieving, and in the Septuagint it talks about that Jeremiah specifically was recognized as sitting in the dirt with his head covered in ashes and his face. And he's just weeping and crying as people would walk by him. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. When you wake up, the first thing that you have is the new mercies of God, your heavenly Father. God has put away yesterday's things, and today is a new day. Those people the exiles of Judah, of Israel, had to stay in that land for a long time. They had to make their homes there. But even though they were there, God still continued to bless them. It was not the same as living in your home country. I can't imagine if we were taken away from America. Can you imagine what that would be like, friends? If we were taken from our country and had to live in another country the way they live. I don't know if I could survive that. I would hope so. That would be really hard. And this is exactly what happened. Exactly. Taken away from their country, their homes, their fields, their jobs, their neighborhood, their synagogues. And now, everything that they do is governed by a foreigner. In our lives, we experience difficulty. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, the saints of God. That's us. All right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. There is pain, there is suffering, there is disease, there is all kinds of different things that hurt us, and all kinds of adversity that we face. And it would seem like God has shut us out, or that God's sights are on us, and he's focusing his arrows on us. But his mercies are new every morning. He has not allowed his anger to consume us. Do you know what? Sometimes our own bad decision-making brings trouble on us. Is that true? Our own bad decisions. Okay? But God is there even when we make stupid decisions. I know you guys don't make stupid decisions, but sometimes I do. You know? But God is there with us. He will not allow us to be consumed. The Bible says that when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. The waters won't overtake you. They won't overwhelm you. They won't drown you. When you walk through the fire will not kindle upon you. You will not be consumed by the fire. I will be with you. That's his promise. And though by our sight things are difficult, we may not know how to fix them. We may not understand why we're going through the things that we are. But we know that we can trust in God. And when those things get difficult, and when we go through these trials, be it physical, be it mental, be it something else, God will be with us every step of the way, and God will be with you through your difficult times. He will not allow the water to overtake you. He will not allow the fire to kindle itself upon you. He will be there with you through it all. Let's pray. Would you stand with me today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we're just so grateful. And sometimes, Lord, honestly, we can relate to Jeremiah just by the struggles that we're going through in our lives. And there's no one that can console us, no one that can fix the problems. We just have to endure them and do the best that we can and trust in you. And so, Father, we come humbly before you, recognizing our inability to handle things ourselves. And we lament before you. We cry out to you. We grieve before you, knowing how much we lack and how greatly we are dependent upon you. In our weakness, Lord, you are strong. In our anxiety, you are peace. In our confusion, you are clarity. In our fear, you are joy. Thank you for being with us. Forgive us our sins. May you accomplish your plan in our lives as we submit to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother, would you close us with a song?
Oh, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Let's sing that again.
Oh, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Bless you, friends. If I haven't met you before, come up and say hi to me. I'd love to meet you.